How are you fellows this morning?
Good. How are you, Patrick?
Much better, thank you.
Yeah, great. Got Aaron Heidenman here on the line.
Are you there, Aaron? Hi, Aaron.
Hi, how you doing?
Just fine, thanks. How you been?
Great.
Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
What have you fellows got going today?
Well, I think we're going to jump into a little more about permaculture. Lance asked me to come in and talk a little bit about that and continue on what we talked about last week. For the folks that aren't as familiar with what permaculture is, I guess sometimes I like to describe it as a, it's sort of a collection of tools and methods and techniques and strategies, excuse me, and like big toolbox. I think sometimes it's misthought of to be just some organic gardening techniques, and it's a whole system, actually, even the science of designing sustainable systems. And you could say that it's part engineering in that it talks a lot about processes and design and planning. It's part ecology, the observation of nature and looking at functional ecosystems. It's part a social system, even, where we're really focused on taking care of people and designing invisible systems. Invisible systems being anything that is used by people for... Well, any kind of law or legal system is like that, but in a permaculture sense, we're often talking about more alternative systems like time banks. And there's actually going to be a new time bank launched in Peonia. The opening, the inaugural date is February 23rd, and that's Sunday at the Blue Sage.
Would now be a time to ask you what a time bank is?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You could say in the really simple sense, a time bank, it's both a library of skills, so it's a place where people can tell the community about what they're good at, and then it's also a place for to record transactions of skills, and it's based entirely on hours. So you kind of log into a website, and you can browse through skills and things that people have to offer, and you can contact them, and they will give you their skill, and you give them some hours, and then they can take those hours and go give those hours to somebody else for another skill.
I see.
So it's just a simple way to facilitate the exchange of services in a community.
Okay.
So that's just a little example of an invisible sort of system of permaculture. And, I mean, a lot of the systems of permaculture are arrived at just by observation and common sense. So I think a lot of folks are doing things just naturally that once you look at it, you might say, oh, yeah, that's permaculture. There's kind of a differentiation. There's lots of techniques gathered together, and a technique would be something simple like how to prune a peach tree. But I think permaculture often, we're focusing on strategies. So that would be how to keep fruit trees healthy. And a strategy would be a collection of techniques, and it also include time, like when you're going to do those techniques and the conditions that are specific. So it's... ecological in the way that it tries to solve various problems. Mm-hmm. And speaking of strategies, I wanted to ask Lance a little bit about his garden, because I know when I visited when I visited Lance's garden years ago, before I knew about permaculture, I saw it as a beautiful garden. And then after I studied permaculture, I was visiting it going like, wow, like this is a great demonstration of all these permaculture things, even though I don't know if Lance, you...
I've read the first book. I did a hedge grove, so, you know, so windbreak hedge grove, and that's it's what's in there: choke cherries and Russian caragana is in there. Caragana, Russian caragana, Siberian pea shrub has yellow flowers that the bees and bumblebees and the hummingbirds really like in the springtime, and then they also have a pea-type pod that you can actually eat, and there's small peas, maybe the size of azuki beans. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and those are all edible. And then there's, I did have Russian olive on there, and I took them all out. I like the smell of them, but they were getting too big. And then there's also just flowering things. There's lilacs, there's forsythias in there. The choke cherries do bloom and have, and the, they do have berries, and the birds really enjoy those. There's crab apples in the hedgerow. There's apricots. There's Nanking cherries. There's black currants, and they're all mixed up.
What's the function of the hedgerow?
Privacy, wind protection, and wildlife. Gives a place for the wildlife, mainly birds. And sometimes those big, sorry to say, when I find them, the big big hornet's nest, the big black hornets that sometimes live in there. Yeah.
Okay.
And, so it's just, and every year I prune it, and one of the side effects, another side effect or benefit that I didn't think I was of at all was those choke cherries are large enough now that when every year I actually prune that hedgerow, thin it out and stuff here and there. And I probably get about 100 stakes, choke cherry stakes, that are at least 6 to 7 feet tall every year.
So that's, how did you decide on those species in that particular location?
Actually, I went through the seedling tree program. Is that through the university?
Oh,
Yeah, and just went through there. You could buy 50 plants, bare root, for a nominal fee. And that's how I started. And then as things, some things died, I filled in the blank spaces with lilacs. And oh, I also have the Austrian copper rose and Persian yellow hedgerows in there. So those, and those are just for color, just for fun. Yeah. And that's, and then I've just seen what grows and what doesn't grow. And like, again, I filled in blank spots. And those crab apples were seedling crab apple trees coming out of people's yards. So, let's see. One's a really nice, small, golden delicious. The other one's like a red crab apple. And the other one's a yellow crab apple. Yeah, had no idea what they're going to be. Mm-hmm. Now that's where those came from.
Yeah, and in the permaculture perspective, you know, looking at a hedgerow, they're looking, you know, at multifunctional, like it can provide the different berries and fruits and flowers for attracting insects and keeping, you know, maybe in some cases keeping wildlife out. I know in this case you probably have a fence around that.
Yeah.
For,
yeah, I do have a fence.
For deer and rabbits and things, but if you got it thick enough, maybe with blackberries and something spiky you can start to create a actual barrier, but... That's sort of a quick example of, of arriving at something that permaculture would say, hey, this is a great technique, because permaculture draws from, you know, just common sense and observation a lot. It draws from ancient wisdom, like things that people have tried and succeeded at in the past, and it also draws from modern technology, like not limiting it to really anything, but it's more the things that do work for people and do work for caring for the earth.
All right. You fellas got anything else at the moment?
Just for me, I have, I'm going to be gone for a couple of weeks. I wanted to let people know that Donna Daphne from Zephyr Rose Farm is going to be calling up and talking about what's going on in the greenhouse at their place.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
So that'll be starting next week?
That'll be starting next week.
All right.
Yeah.
Aaron, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Appreciate the information.
You have a good day.
Yep. Take care of yourself there, Lance.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
And if you ever have any questions or comments in regards to As the Worm Turns, feel free to contact us here at KVNF at 527-4868 and pose your question, or you can go online at kvnf.org and give us something there.